And welcome to the Templecast. And this week is a special episode because it's episode 2. We actually made it to a second episode.
The second and the last. No, I'm joking. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a good achievement.
Yeah. Obviously, this week, as we said last week, this week we're going to be talking a little bit about our new single, and that is called Afterburner, and we're going to be chatting a little bit about that. But to kick things off, Dio, what have you been listening to this week?
Well, this week I did listen to the new, I don't know if you heard it. It's not new, it's from the past year, the new Gamma Bomb.
Gamma Bomb, yeah.
Sea Savage. It's good thrash, man. It's you can really see the punk roots, and it's fun to listen to. It's just fun thrash, you know. Nothing serious. Man.
I did hear, I listened to that album when that first came out, because I remember a mate of mine sent me a copy. I had to listen to the album before they had them on there for an interview, and yeah,
I miss it because Isaac really likes them. I think he saw them live already. And another band I was listening to about this week was Mindtaker, which is a band from Portugal,
yeah.
It's the first album, Toxic War.
Yeah, it's another one. Yeah,
trash. Pure trash. I love that.
And the guy who does their art is the same guy who does our artwork.
Yeah, he's the same.
I'm still listening to the new Halloween album. Still enjoying that.
I did listen to the first song, but then I didn't carry on.
It's never really been your thing, is it?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really talk much about it because I just listened to one song. I just didn't feel it. So I just changed it.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I know it's good. I heard some other songs from the past, and I know I liked it. But it wasn't just a band that I got into it yet. Maybe I will get into them one day. Who knows?
Yeah, and I always say, I mean, if you want to check out that band, I would always say start with the Keeper albums. Go back, listen to Keeper 7 Keys Part 1. Part 2, if you like that, then you'll be able to go into the new album, and you should enjoy it, because it is very good. I don't personally think it's as good as those early albums, but that's usually the case. But it's a slightly different band now, but it's more modern sound, and
for the present it's good, isn't it?
It is good, yeah. It's good for a band where they're, you know, 30 years later from that point, and it's still sounding, you know.
Yeah, the problem, our problem is we always look back to what they did before and try to compare it. And that's a mistake we do, because we have expectations, you know. If you don't have expectations, it's good. Imagine like this last album, any band last album, if would be a new band releasing this album, you would be like, whoa, I like this, you know, I like this album, because you didn't expect anything from that band, because it's a new band, you know what I mean? Mm.
Well, I think expectations were really high with this album, because they brought back in some of the original members who had left after the Keeper albums, who were like a big part of the Keeper. So they came back, you know, you got the original singer back and the original guitarist, so everyone was thinking, oh, hang on, you know, it's virtually the original lineup again now, so we're all hoping so, you know, for big things again. So I suppose there was that high expectation there, and considering that, I think it's very good. It's different, but like you say, it's what you expect, you know. 30 years have passed, bands change.
Yeah, I will definitely give it a go. Another band that I've been listening to about this week, which you probably don't expect, was Linkin Park. I mean, I just listened to this album because it brings me back to my teenage years.
Yeah. What's the name of that album?
Minutes to Midnight. It's an album from 2007. It's the one with the single What I've Done.
Yeah. The only one I had, I think still got somewhere. I think it was it Hybrid Theory or something?
That's the best.
But apart from that, I don't really know much Linkin Park.
Yeah,
I just know that.
Me too. It's just Hybrid Theory, Meteora, and Minutes to Midnight. I think that's all I know.
Speaking of Minutes Till Midnight, Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden have actually announced their new album, which obviously, as you know, I'm super hyped about.
Yes, you can do pre-order already, isn't it? This was from 21st?
Yeah, Yeah, it comes out a couple of days after the Underworld gig, which is nice.
After, yeah. It's on the 3rd of September.
3rd of September, yeah.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to pre-order because I think there is no need to do it. But I will definitely... I'm thinking if I buy the vinyl, I mean, I will probably get both. Yeah, so I like the name. Over. I like the name, Senjutsu.
I like the artwork. I think the artwork looks pretty cool.
I think it's my favourite.
Yeah?
To be honest. Yeah, yeah.
I do miss the old artwork though, with all the their artwork used to be so detailed and have so many little things going on.
Let me have a look. So what's your favourite?
Favourite Iron Maiden artwork. Well, that's a tough one.
Yeah, that's tough.
Oh, I would say it's a very close choice between Power Slave and Somewhere in Time. Because Power Slave just looks, I just love the whole Egyptian thing. That just looks cool. But Somewhere in Time has just got so much little things hidden away. If you actually look at that album cover, there's just so many little Easter eggs and nods to their history and stuff.
Yeah.
But they've done so many. I was looking through this page the other day because obviously the new album art had come out, and they, you know, a lot of pages were running. We're going to rank Iron Maiden's best covers, artworks, and all this. And I was looking through some, and even some of their single covers are just brilliant.
I'm looking here now on the covers, and I can tell you, I like the Book of Souls cover.
Yeah, it's very simple.
I like the Dance of Death.
Really? You like Dance of Death?
That's a really cool one. For some reason, I like it.
Oh, so many people hate that because it's all kind of messed up. Because apparently, it wasn't finished.
It's very messed up. Yeah.
Fair enough.
But I kind of like it. A Matter of Life. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's your thing, and James.
Yeah.
You both like
Big
that.
Tank Army skeletons. Yeah.
Seventh Son of the Seventh Son.
I like that one.
Yeah.
I think that's because I used to have a poster of that as a kid, so that I remember that
image. Fear of the Dark, of course, it's a classic.
I forgot Killers is brilliant.
Killers, yeah.
That's just like, to me, I think Killers just looks one of the best Eddies because he just looks.
Yeah, but that's the oldest artwork, you know. I tend to like the newest ones. If you would ask me now, I would say the Book of Souls, the Final Frontier. In this new one.
Yeah, the new one does it good. I mean, I get why a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, I miss Derek Riggs and his early artwork, but times have changed, I guess, you know, technology's changed, digital art and all the things that have come in, it's just...
Yeah, but you know what? Now I just remember, it's my favourite one is not album cover, it's the single, the new single, The Writing on the Wall.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Rest in peace forever.
That's a classic.
There is no better cover than that.
Not my favourite album by them, but it's, yeah.
Not your favourite, so what's your favourite?
Peace Elves.
I thought you were going to say Super Collider.
Oh, no. yeah, I don't know what happened there.
I bought this album, actually.
Yeah, I have, because I was a huge... I still am, but I went through a stage of just being a huge Megadeth fan. And I must... Yeah, I literally... They're one of the few bands that I've got everything of. And I remember buying Super Collider, yeah. And, a bit disappointed with that one.
Yeah. Endgame was good.
Yeah, Endgame was a solid album, yeah.
13 was like, okay.
Yeah, 13 was a bit hit and miss, wasn't it? There was a few good songs on there.
Yeah.
And then there was a lot of sort of filler and stuff I'd never listened to again. And same with Super Collider. There was probably one or two songs on there I kind of liked, and the rest I just thought were a bit uninspired, a bit just a bit. They could do better.
Dancing in the Rain was
Dancing song in the Rain I liked was quite from, a good song. Yeah. Kingmaker wasn't too bad.
Wasn't too bad, yeah. But the Wolf album, nah, it just doesn't work. It's too. I don't know. It doesn't bring anything new, or it doesn't make you excited. It's just very. Normal. I don't know how to explain.
Yeah, it just to me it kind of felt like it was just the whole process was boring. They were just bored, and then you listen to Dystopia, and that's a much more focused, you know, brutal album.
I was about to talk about it when this album came out. I was like, okay, now this is Megadeth.
Yeah,
because we have Dystopia, which is very close to like the same style as Hangar 18.
Yeah,
really good songs. I mean,
yeah, there's
I'm looking to the playlist of this album. The Thread Is Real, Dystopia, Fatal Illusion, Death From Within. I don't see any song that I don't like in this album.
No, it's a solid album. It had a lot of there's a lot of parts on there that sounded like old Megadeth in some ways.
Yeah, definitely.
Nah, for me, Peace Sells was the best. I always say, and the reason why I say that is literally because even though I think Rust in Peace is an amazing album, I think Rust in Peace is probably technically a better album than Peace Sells. But for some reason, I just find Peace Sells a little bit more darker and a little bit more dangerous, if that kind of makes sense. Like, when I listened to that, when the first time I heard that album, I kind of was thinking, you know, I was listening to the songs thinking, wow, what's coming next? Like, this band feels like it could go off the rails at any point. This is just crazy. Some of these riffs and you know, things are coming out of nowhere, and it just...
No, I agree with you. I would say Peace Sells is their best one.
It's a little bit more darker edge than Rust in Peace. I think you listen to Rust in Peace and they just seem a lot more mature on Rust in Peace. It's like,
yeah, because
they
Rust
know
in
what
Peace,
they're doing now. It's
everything is perfect there. The sound, the song structures,
yeah,
everything is just really well done. And of course,
the solos.
The other one is a good album. All these great tunes, but then in Rest in Peace you have Holy Wars, and Holy Wars, you can't compete with that song, you know.
It's a great song. It's kind
and
of like
Hangar 18 as well, so that's why people say that it's their best.
And Tornado of Souls, and actually all of the songs in there, like Take No Prisoners, then the actual title track, I love. It's definitely one of the best thrash albums. But the first actual Megadeth album I listened to was Peace Sells. Maybe that's why I like it the best. But I remember buying that in Croydon, listened to Wake Up Dead, and that was it.
For me, that's my favourite track from Megadeth. It's my favourite song.
That's got so many good riffs in it.
That beginning, even if it's the rest of the song is shit, which is not, man, that beginning riff is just... That spider chord.
I know the one. that just gets me every time. And then the one at the end as well.
Yeah.
The solo.
For me, the first time, I can't remember when it was, how old I was, but I remember that was Trust. It's expectable because it's like the Enter the Sandman.
Yeah, yeah. It's got that kind of commercial type vibe, isn't it?
Commercial type vibe. Yeah. That was probably their commercial album. It's not commercial, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. I think a lot of bands chased... I think once Metallica put out the Black Album, the success they had with that, quite a few of the thrash bands sort of started leaning a bit more to try and capture or feed off of that current success from that, because obviously Megadeth did Countdown to Extinction, Euthanasia, and Cryptic Writings.
I was trying to remember the name of that album.
Yeah, and they were all very in that sort of Black Album vein. Because obviously everyone wanted a bit of that. Everyone saw the success of the Black Album.
Damn. Because if you look to the production of the album, it's so good.
Yeah, it is. It's really good.
It's like when the first song, it really kicks in really well when the drums of Trust start.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite drum patterns ever.
Do you remember the first time you heard Slayer?
Oh, man. To be honest, I don't know, man.
Was you late coming, getting into Slayer?
Well, of course I was late. I was late because I'm a young dude. So the first time I listened to was, I was probably about around 15 years old. And I have 29 now. So that was back in 2008, maybe around that. Yeah, because as soon, I started with Metallica, yeah? That was my favorite band and still is. And from Metallica, I went to all the other bands. I started to listen to Slayer, Megadeth, Trust, because somebody told me, if you like Metallica, go and listen to Megadeth. So everyone says that, yeah. So, and from there, I went to Creator, all the other thrash metal from Europe. And then I started listening to Slayer a lot, and I went like, whoa, okay. I think this is my favorite band. And then I remember that I changed to Slayer the wallpapers of the computer. And I remember that specific time thinking, okay, Metallica is not my favorite, it's Slayer. But that took like just a few months, and I went back to Metallica. And Metallica is definitely.
I think they were the. Okay. I think they were probably the last of the big four that I really got into. I kind of went through the other three. I was into the other three a lot more before I got into Slayer. But obviously,
yeah,
once
I think it happens that with the majority of people because Slayer is very extreme.
Yeah,
you know, extreme sound, very dirty.
When it comes to pure thrash, speed, and aggression, obviously they do it best out of those four. I think in terms of just, you know, your kind of balls out thrash metal.
Yeah, but that depends on the style of thrash metal, yeah, because they had this really aggressive style. Because if you go back to the Kill 'Em All and Ride the Lightning, you have already Fade to Black, which is a ballad as well. Yeah, people talk about Metallica, Nothing Else Matters was a ballad, they sold themselves well, but they did in the second album with Fade to Black.
Metallica were already going in their own direction, weren't they? They wanted to.
Yeah, but you know, people always say, oh, it was in 1992 when they released the Black Album that they went commercial. They were like that, and people sometimes said as well, oh, it's because after Cliff died, they went rogue to commercial stuff. But Cliff was there for Ride the Lightning, and when they did Fade to Black, they said, well, we're just doing what we want to do, so we don't give a fuck.
Yeah, so they were getting hate back then when they did Fade to Black and things like that. So anytime a band gets big and successful, the more hate you're going to get. So you no matter what you do, if you're a big successful band, there's going to be a huge amount of people who don't like it.
For me as a musician, I like thrash metal and all of that, but I wouldn't mind to write a ballad. I have nothing against ballads. To the ballad bands that you call like Creed, Three Doors Down, Nickelback, that everyone hates it. Yes, I went through all of that, and then I went like slowly. And then I listened to Nothing Else Matters. The first time I listened to this song, I was like, okay, I really like this. And then I went to see what they were on about in the other songs, and I liked it. Yeah, that was the first aggressive metal that I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, I do understand that. I think if I was going to try and get someone into metal, usually I was kind of start them off with something a bit, like you say, a little bit more, not commercial, but a little bit more, you know, easy on the ears, and if especially if you're not used to it. I mean, it was different for me because I obviously grew up with it. It was playing anyway, so I knew what it was. I knew how heavy it could be. I wasn't into it because I still was a young kid and wasn't really, you know, wasn't really ready to take on music and get into music at that time, but I heard it all the time being played by my older brother. You know, I had to share a room with him. So, you know, he was a teenager. He would come in, he would stick on Metallica, Maiden and everything, blast it out. I'm just a little tiny kid and I'm like, what the hell? So I was kind of prepared, I kind of knew what to expect. So obviously when I actually got round to thinking, okay, I'm gonna give this, see what this is all about, I'm gonna give this a listen, I was kind of ready for that.
Yeah, you were used to it already, so it's much easier.
Yeah, exactly. Metal music was pretty much ingrained in my head from a very young age, I'd say. But yeah, as we said at the beginning of the show, this week we're actually going to be looking at our new single, Afterburner, and we're going to be talking about, well, basically everything to do with that song. But before we do, we're going to play it for you. So this is our new single, Afterburner.
Watch out, Buggy 135. fucking cold.
And that was our new single, Afterburner. And that one is a bit of a different song, Dio, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it is. And the most difficult to play. Even though it sounds easy, it's not.
Yeah, it is actually. It is actually very... That main riff is actually quite difficult to play. Mainly because it's just constant repetitive, isn't it, really?
And
it's
It's hard to walk in.
Yeah, it's more about sort of feeling and groove.
It's even this week, it's the song that I've been practicing the most. It's like the other ones I can get through really easy, like I know them by heart. This one, but it's just, it's funny because it's just in the first verse. In the other parts of the song, it's fine.
Mm.
But in the beginning, when this riff kicks in, it's very hard. But it sounds very, very easy.
But all in all, it's probably the most simple song on the album, and it's the shortest song on the album.
But 4 minutes, nearly five, is it?
I think it's about 4 minutes.
Yeah, that's it.
But then, yeah, that was the whole point of it. The whole point was to have something a little bit more simple, a little bit more. Just more about fun, really, whereas a lot of the other topics on the album a little bit more serious. This was just good playing fun. Just
yeah, it's good to have some songs like that just to have fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it was originally started off as something completely different. James had sent me some riffs, some various riffs, and he had that main riff on there, but it was played a lot faster, and it was I think it had a tail on it. But we kind of took
the hard riff was James.
Yeah, that was his. But the way he had it, it was on a weird. He kind of had looped it, and again, it was still repetitive. But when we put it into the song, we were trying to put it together. It didn't sound right. It didn't really go anywhere. It's just constant repetitive riff.
Yeah.
But that's why. We came up with the other guitar line that goes along with it, because that basically guides the song. In a way, you listen to the song, it feels like the riff is changing, but it's not. It's the other guitar doing those notes and chords that kind of feels like the main riff is changing.
Yeah, what I like this song is actually that part. The part where you're just playing the melodic bit. You play the chord and you kind of wait. It's time for you to relax as a guitarist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not riffing hard all the way through. You have the riffing part and then you have that calm part for a couple of seconds just for your rapping to stand out, you know?
Yeah.
And looking forward, definitely we'll be doing more of that. Focus more on the rap part.
It's a very fun song to play, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and even the whole theme of it, that was kind of right at the end, because again, you had that sort of repetitive riff, and then you had the middle bit. It might have actually been James who suggested doing it about, I can't remember, it was something to do with war, but it was only till we did the intro, that whole kind of like, it sounded a bit military vibe to it, and that's when it kind of then morphed into, I had the idea of, I'm going to do it about fighter planes, just for a laugh.
Yep.
And then, again, which we've done on other songs, it did then kind of look a little bit at Iron Maiden's Aces High, in terms of the structure of, like, because obviously, to both me and James at the time, Aces High is one of the best songs about fighter planes out there, and, you know... It's a great song, so we said, "Oh, we could do something."
It's funny you say that, because when my brother listened to the song, he said that this reminds me Iron Maiden, which is really good because he likes Iron Maiden. I didn't get it, to be honest.
Well, it was more in the structure, because you have you have the first verse and the chorus, then it goes into this little sort of fighter pilot talk part. Then you have a solo in the middle that Aces High has, and then the fighter pilot part again, and then back into your last verse. So it's very similar structure to Aces High.
Yeah, because the type of song that reminds me more about Iron Maiden is more that double picking riffing, like what we did in The Witcher by the end.
Yeah,
you know that riff I wrote with you at the rehearsal.
Yeah,
that sounds very Iron Maiden. That's
when I
hear that type of riff, I say, okay, this sounds like Iron Maiden.
But well, it's a galloping riff, isn't it?
It's a galloping riff, yeah. That Iron Maiden style galloping. It's very specific. It's the same as, for example, the Atlas Rise from Metallica has.
Yeah, yeah, that's got an Iron Maiden vibe.
Straight Iron Maiden vibe, yeah.
Mm. But again, that's what worked for Simon when Simon came down to lay down the solos. He listened to the song, and he said this just screams like, you know, I've got to do a kind of classic sort of heavy metal style solo here, which works so great in the middle. It's a great little solo. It does exactly what it needs to be to do, and
it's one of my favorite solos, I believe.
It's memorable.
Yeah, it's hard to. I think it will feel like I will always say that it's one of my favorites because I love the solos, I like them. But probably this is one of the ones that stand out more for me.
Yeah, it's turned out a good fun song. As I said, I mean, in rehearsals, as we know, it's a fun song to play. And it's definitely a song that feels like it's going to be good fun to play live in a live atmosphere. It should go down pretty well.
Yeah, straightforward song.
And again, the theme's kind of interesting because way back, obviously, in State of Anxiety days, we did a song called Flight 19, which was about planes, funnily enough. And
we have another one now.
We have another one. But the interesting thing was, I think it was James who noticed, when we did Flight 19, that story... he said, basically, all you've done is jump forward a load of years, because I think the actual story of what Afterburn is based on was an actual event that happened, something to do with America and Russia, and it was the same fighter group or something. It was the same group that Flight 19 was a part of, and obviously, so it's kind of like a continuation in a way. So,
yeah, but Flight 19 is about the triangle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
the Bermuda, yeah.
The planes that got lost in the Bermuda Triangle. This is basically like, it's basically like Top Gun. If you've seen the movie Top Gun, it's fun. It was good to sing about something a bit more lighthearted, and
it's good fun, definitely.
And again, it was nice and easy doing the lyrics for me, because obviously, you know, I've grown up around a lot of planes. I've had a brother who's a pilot. My dad was super keen, you know, big plane enthusiast, so it was easy growing up getting to know about all that sort of stuff anyway. So
yeah, you have the connection to the song.
Yeah. So it was fun writing about it, and the only thing that was hard to get was the little bits before and after the solo, the little bits of lyric there that have effects on to make them sound like pilot speech. That was the last bit I had to do because I couldn't find anything that rhymed, but I wanted to use words that pilots would use. And by a stroke of luck, my cousin at that time sent me a Red Arrows video, and it had a video in the cockpit, and they were doing a mock simulation fight, and they were saying those exact words, and it was rhyming, and I thought, oh, that's it. And I just literally took them, I thought, yeah, adapted them into the song.
I didn't know that. That is pretty cool.
Yeah, so that was, I thanked him for that.
That's a cool bit of detail about the song, how you came up with that. It's actually something real. It's not just random words that you think in your fantasy world that it works like that. It's something that actually people say.
Well, no, that's it. I mean, we were looking for something to go there, and, you know, you couldn't really copy Iron Maiden too much and start singing, you know, rolling, turning, diving and all that, because it's been done. But I wanted something similar, do you know what I mean, that pilots would say in that situation. And I was looking at all the words online. There were some good words to use, but you want it to rhyme and feel a bit more, you know, cohesive. But it was just a fluke that he sent that video over and said, oh, you like planes, check out this cool video the Red Arrows doing this mock simulation battle and all this, and yeah, the pilots was saying those things, and I was thinking, hang on a minute, that rhymes, I could use that. And so we did.
So how long did it take you to write those lyrics?
That was, strangely enough, the first verse took me ages, because as is the case with the kind of the first verse, that's where you kind of plan out your sort of your flow and how you're going to say things and that sort of thing. And that was kind of a little bit harder, thinking, hang on, I've got to kind of tell a story in a bit, in a way here. So I've got to, they start yes. here, they're doing this and yeah. that. And so that was a lot harder. And strangely enough, I booked in the vocal, the actual recording session, 2 weeks after I started writing that. And I had that, and I had everything in place, apart from the bit that my cousin gave me, and the last verse. And I thought, well, I can go back and do the bit with my cousin at a second, because that's going to be have effects on it, so I can add that in at any time. And it doesn't matter if it sounds a bit different, you know, to the actual verses. So
yeah, but do you come up first with the lyrics, or first you have when you have the riff, the song structure, and then you think about the lyrics, or it doesn't matter? You have the lyrics and then you construct the song.
I suppose it's mainly the song first, because the song can really dictate. The song basically can, is going to
yeah,
dictate
exactly,
what you can do.
Because when you write a song and then you listen to how it sounds, yeah, the sound of the song will probably take you to a place where okay, in this atmosphere sound, I can write about this subject or the other one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's easier. It's much easier to do it like that.
But I didn't have the second verse written until the morning I had to go and record it. I started it the night before because I was panicking, thinking, hang on, I've left this too late now. I'm meant to be going in recording this tomorrow, and I still haven't got the second verse. And for some reason, I woke up in the morning, and the whole second verse just came to me in about half hour.
Yeah.
I was just writing, I was thinking, hang on, this is it. For some reason my brain was in the right place, and I was just thinking the words were coming out, and I was writing it down. I was thinking, and also it was easier because once you've got that first verse in place and how I say things in the first verse and how it leads in, you know, you have the part where it's just the lyrics and the bass, and then the riff comes in, doesn't it, midway through the verse?
Yes.
And it gets heavier. So at that point, you've got to kind of build up the vocals a bit. So when the riff comes in, you know, you've got on the first verse, it's the kind of, you know, let the dogs out, blah, 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 and then the riff kicks in. And then, so you feel like, oh, I've got to do something similar structure on the second verse. So, but I had the first verse in place, so it was a lot easier to write the second verse because you know what structure you've got to do. So it worked out really well, and then
and sometimes you have to stop when you know, as you did, like you came the next day and you went, oh, okay, now I know what to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's really important just to let it go for a day or two, and then when you come back, because you keep thinking, your inconscient still, your brain still thinking about the song, you know, when you are very focused about doing something and finish something, sometimes it's actually nice to stop and come in the next day, okay, now I know what to do.
Yeah, I was lucky with that song, because usually you have to, with the other songs, I kind of had to get all the lyrics done and quite a while before I recorded it, so I had time to start practicing it myself, so I just to make it work, because sometimes you can write, I obviously, because it's more rapping, I write a lot of stuff and I think to myself, yeah, this would be easy to do, but when I actually get round to trying to do it and record it, it's like, actually, this is a lot harder than what it seems on paper to say.
Yes,
and
of course. Yeah.
So you have to make tweaks. So you really do have to practice a bit beforehand just to make sure you can do it. And,
yeah, of course.
And then, so it was a bit of a risk with Afterburner, because obviously I wrote it the verse that morning, and then went and recorded it. But luckily, it came out all right, and I had no problem doing it. That's all the little things you've got to think about, especially live. You have to sit and think, well, it's okay doing all this crazy stuff, but if you can't do it live, then it's easy in the studio.
But in live is a different feel, isn't it? Because when you record, you have to get it right, the rapping and how clear are you singing the words, rapping the words.
Yeah.
But live you have to give a different feel to it. It's like not worrying. Of course, you need to worry a bit to sound how you sound in the record, in the songs, but you need to have fun with it.
Yeah.
As well, and show your energy, you know, not just being focused, trying to get it right, because life is not about getting it right. Because if you want to get it right, I mean, just play the record to people and say,
exactly.
Are you happy that it sounds exactly as you know it?
But yeah, I mean, as I said, vocally, it's a fun song. It's about, it is based on a real event that happened back in the 80s, and it also has some sound samples taken from that event, which luckily were in public domain, so we were allowed to use them. So the samples on the song are actually real samples from the actual fight that happened, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's Afterburner. And moving on, we do have an album on the way. It's not ready. There's still quite a bit of work to be done, mainly sort of finishing off some drum tracks. Got a few more songs yet to polish up and get ready, but it's taking shape. And we do have all the artwork, which we will be revealing soon, nearer to the release.
Which is a really cool artwork that we will, when we show, we will talk a bit about it to explain how did we come up with the concept of the cover, which is really cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's a cool little concept idea behind that. And but it is coming. There is an album coming, and we can actually tell you there is going to be 9 songs on the album. Obviously, fresh, modern remix versions of some of the early songs that have been available on YouTube.
Yeah, the ones that the demos that are on YouTube will be there.
Yeah, they've all been redone. They all have now all got James's backing vocals. They sound much beefier. Everything's sounding really good on those ones. And we have, obviously, we've got a lot of songs in there you haven't heard, with some really cool songs. There's definitely a good mix. I mean, it is thrash at heart, but there's a lot of good melody on the songs as well.
Every song is sounding different. That's one point that I like. It's not like all the same, you know. You go through the album, will be good when the album is ready, just to have a listen through the whole album and go like, okay, because you have different vibes.
Yeah.
Through the songs, it's not all the same.
Yeah, I think in that respect, I think we've done pretty well there. They, like you say, all the songs are different. But as a whole, they feel as one, it feels like.
Yeah. If you compare, like, for example, Certified Danger, that people already know that is on YouTube.
Yeah.
If they listen to it. Certified Danger is pure trash, just fast from beginning to the end. And then you have now this single Afterburner, which sounds completely different.
Yeah.
But it still sounds like us. So that's the good part.
Yeah, and I think, to be fair, a lot of the point with this first album, a lot of it is experimentation, really, of just starting off getting to know us and what we can do. I mean, that's why I think a lot of the tracks are very different, because there's some tracks where there's a lot of both me and James on vocal doing a lot of trade-offs and working with each other, which was again more of a test just to see, like, how can this work in the future, you know. We try things here and see how it sounds, and then on future releases we can really push that further. So it's
the way I see it as well is, with this first album, is basically us showing to people that we don't have a specific style of playing, you know, that we will be attached to it. It's like we can just do different stuff, you know.
Yeah,
because
I think
we'll be always different, but we will write the, of course we will get better, but we'll be always different. We will always do what we feel.
Yeah, you're definitely going to see a lot of evolving as we go along. I mean, already, yes, we are even working on new songs that aren't on the album for after the album. We're working on new songs, and it's a big departure. It's a big change already. It's a different type of song.
Yeah.
There's some really brutal stuff on the way, and it's going to get.
It's a big change as well, because these songs from the album was more written. You took like ideas from me, James, from what we played in rehearsals back in the day, etc. But was more written by you. You know?
Yeah.
Was your vision. And now, with all the people coming in, joining in, we will starting to add all the parts from me, from Simon, from James. And yeah, the new songs that are sounding amazing.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's basically it. I mean, the first album is kind of like a little introduction. it's more about your potential. You can see what's there, but what's coming next is just going to be next level. It's still going to sound like Temperature. I mean, if you like the first album, you're going to like what's coming after. But when we say it's different, it's just different in a better way. It's more times 10 of everything. It's more crazier, it's more brutal, and
yep.
So, you know, we don't mean we're completely changing the sound from the first album. It's still going to be, you know, you're still going to know, oh, this is Tempershot, but it's just going to be so much better, because already we've just learned and got so much confidence, and we're starting to realize what we can do. Like, anything's kind of possible now that everyone's a lot more confident. There's nothing really stopping us. If we want to do something, then as crazy as
getting
we'll
creative
do it.
Yeah, just getting creative.
I think we're all pretty excited now and looking forward to working on the new stuff. Once this album's out, we're going to get this album out, and then before we go in and write a new album, we're most probably going to release a few standalone singles after this album, I think, just to give people an idea of where we're going.
Yeah, and then the album, different songs.
Can't really hype it up enough, really. As I said, I mean, we're happy with the debut album, and there's some killer tracks on here. It's a solid album. I think we'll all be really pleased with it, but we are already looking to the future and now thinking, damn, you know, this can get really good. We've got some real good ideas now. We can take things to the next level, so there's a lot of good stuff on the way.
Oh yes, but for now let's just wait for the album, and then we will see what happens. Anything can happen.
Exactly.
Just be ready for it.
Exactly. I'm looking forward to actually getting this album out, and we should have a lot more stuff to reveal soon, and hopefully things get summer out the way, and we can give a final push and get this debut album out, finish all the last bits off. It has been difficult, obviously, due to Corona and everything going on that has delayed things a bit. But yeah, as I said, we got a lot of good stuff on the way, a lot of exciting stuff coming, which we will be, as the weeks progress, we will try and get as much information out to you as we can and reveal what we can when we can. Obviously, next week, we're going to try and look at Certified Dangerous. It's not actually officially being released, but a lot of people may be familiar with it from the YouTube version, which was the earliest version there was. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that next week, and a few other things.
Now I'm going for holidays. See you guys next week.
Oh yeah, you're going away.
Yes, for a couple of
days. Chill out.
Yeah, long journey. Gonna be fun. Hell yes.
And on that note, we will see you next week.